Well, good morning. I am not Frank Weller, nor have I ever wanted to be. I am Mike Harrison from Great Lakes Christian College, and Frank asked me to stand in today. And I tell you, I love Frank. I've known Frank since 1986. He was in a traveling choir and came to my house and stayed at my house in 1986 with Great Lakes Christian College. And I have to tell you, I didn't like him then. So if you didn't like him at the first time that you met him, you are not alone, okay? And no, Frank and I did not see eye to eye or arm to arm or anything like that. But over time, he kind of grows on you, right? He just, you know, he's kind of that guy that you just want to have around. And so I'm sorry that Frank isn't around today. He's in Texas viewing his son Jonah's concert today with the band, and so that's very, very exciting. Frank asked me to stand in today, and I said, great, I'm glad to be here. And I said, what am I preaching? And he gave me a sermon. He said, preach this. I said, Frank, this is a really good sermon, and I'm excited because I'm going to make it better. And I'm excited because the people are going to hear a real preacher for a change on this Sunday. And so, no, Frank and I mean, he was the best man in my wedding. He might say that he was the only man in my wedding. But Frank and I are good friends. And I tell you, I love Frank Weller. So I'm glad to be here with you today because I love God as well. And I love to share God's word. And I love the connections that God has brought together. So in 1986, God found it fit that Frank Weller and Mike Harrison would become friends, and we would become best friends through Great Lakes Christian College. And I'm wondering this morning, if I can have the house lights come up for just a second, I'm wondering how many of you are connected in this room here today with Great Lakes Christian College. So if you have attended there a class or you have served there on faculty or staff, I would like you to stand right now. Wow. Wow, look at that. That's amazing. Mrs. Doty, your husband's vision, God give us preachers, has come true. The connections that we have that in the body of Christ is just absolutely amazing. And, you know, connections are so very important. You know, as God saw fit that I would be connected with Frank some 30 years ago, and how he saw that I would be here at South Lansing this morning to make a connection with you. Connections are very, very important. You know, last year, this church sent my daughter, you supported my daughter, Ellery Harrison, to go to Ecuador. And she went there for a five-month internship where she was able to serve God in Ecuador because of the connections that we have. Now, what was interesting about that is that once she got there, we thought, well, it'll be good. I took her there. I was there with her. But the internet that they were using in Ecuador didn't work. It failed. And so for about 2 months, the only time that we could connect with our daughter was when she was at a coffee shop, and it was always sketchy. And, you know, I found that my blood pressure would raise when I couldn't connect with my daughter. Have you found that to be true? When you call your kids, or kids, you call your parents and they don't answer the cell phone for some reason, your blood pressure raises. We do not like to be disconnected. South Lansing provides us Wi-Fi, internet, so that you can check in on your Bible YouVersion, or check in on Facebook. And some of you I know, because I sit there with you, are just scrolling through Facebook the whole time this morning. And I've seen that. And so, but if we would shut down the Wi-Fi for just maybe 5 minutes, all of a sudden, our blood pressures rise up. And we get to the place where I don't like to be disconnected. Americans don't like to be disconnected. And yet, when we think about that, our connections and our disconnections, when we think about that, there are so many Americans who go through their life trying to live a Christian life, yet disconnected from the vine, disconnected from the Father. Almost like you could go through life without a connection to the Father. How in the world does that happen? I don't need this chair because I don't get tired when I preach. I don't know why Frank needs that, but okay. Is this recorded? I hope he hears it. So many Christians try to live the Christian life without being connected to the Father. And if that's you this morning, that you are finding that, you know, there's something missing in your relationship with the Father, I want to tell you today, it's the connection that you need. You say, well, Mike, I'm here in church, but it's not just going to church. It's a connection that you need. This summer, we started hashtag Summer Strong 2017. And we challenged people to take 3 months this summer to really think about your faith and to think about your connection to the Father. We kicked off that effort with a sermon series called Fruitful, and we're looking at John 15, if you want to turn there in your Bibles, John 15. And what we're asking is, what does it take to be fruitful, to be a fruitful Christian? I mean, if you're honest, you'd have to ask yourself, just how important is it to you that you are a Christian who bears spiritual fruit? What is the spiritual fruit of a Christian? Well, I would say it would be another Christian. We all like to eat apples, but we don't want the trouble of owning our own orchard. We want growth, but we don't want to commit to doing what exactly it takes to have growth in our lives. Or for some of us, we grew a lot when we chose to follow Jesus on that one day, but now we've reached a level of growth that we become complacent, mediocre, we've plateaued, we're not really producing fruit anymore. Some of us have applied some sort of formula for spiritual growth, maybe something that you read in a book, or you got at a conference, or a seminar, or even a sermon, and it worked for a while, but you haven't been growing recently. If I could sum up what Jesus tells his disciples in John 15, in this section, I would say it this way. If you disconnect, you die. Let me reset the scene for you. It's the Passover week here in John 15, and Jesus is about to be betrayed, falsely accused, yes, even arrested, and tried in a kangaroo court. And then executed by the Roman authorities. He's spending these last few hours with his disciples, the 12 men that he has spent the last 3 years with, living in community, teaching them, loving them, preparing them to become the messengers of God's good news to the world. John records Jesus' final words to his disciples in John 15. He teaches them. He prays for them. The main point of his teaching is connection. How his followers can stay connected to God. He tells them what connection looks like and how the Holy Spirit will come to help them stay connected once he returns to be with his Father in heaven. Shortly after his prayer, he goes with them to a secluded garden where he demonstrates that connection by going off by himself and talks to his heavenly Father. The whole theme of John 15 through 17 is this connection. Look at what Jesus tells his disciples in John 15:5. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Frank discussed last week that Jesus used something very familiar to his disciples to describe their relationship to God, a vineyard. Jesus said, I am the vine. And when he said that, he was talking about what modern vintners, I didn't know that word before Frank taught me, vintners, that's a person who has a vineyard. They call this the trunk, and then they separate the trunk from the cordons. And the branches are what they call the canes. Only the canes. The branches the branches, that's us, bear fruit. But both the vine and the branches are required to bear fruit. In fact, Jesus told his disciples in John 15:5, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus used this word remain. If you remain in me, and some of your Bibles might have the words, if you abide in me, remain in me. Jesus used that word 11 times in this chapter, just in 11 verses. What does that mean to abide in Christ, to remain in Christ? It means to remain in a relationship, in a fellowship with Christ. How do we do that? How do we remain in Christ? How do we abide in Christ? It involves spending time with Him. It means opening your Bible and reading what God's Word says to you and letting His Word speak to you. It also means having a conversation where you're talking to God about your sin and confessing your sin so that you can be forgiven. Abiding in Jesus doesn't just happen. It takes intentionality. We must be intentional. We can't just have a relationship with God by osmosis. We have to be intentional. Jesus tells them, his disciples, and he tells us, apart from me, you can do nothing. Wow. Significant truth in that little section of scripture right there, especially for us as Americans, because we've all been raised with this idea of an individualistic ethos or culture or society, that when we grew up, we were less, if it's going to be, it's up to me. Growing up, you and I heard over and over, you can be anything that you want to be. You can become. You can do it. Follow your dreams. And all of those things resonate with me as well. To a certain extent, they are true. But often, in growing up in America, we did not hear, if you're going to do something great, you have to stay connected to the Father. If you want something in your life, and I'm not just talking about success here, I'm talking about significance. If you want to have something significant, a contribution to your world, you must stay connected to the Father. As Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And yet that's the reality. In the very next verse, Jesus tells his disciples, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. This is where Jesus says, if you disconnect, you die. There are two kinds of branches that are actually discarded. We talked about one of them last week, branches that bear no fruit. Modern vintners would call them suckers or water sprouts. They grow great leaves, but no fruit. Jesus says that his Father prunes those kind of branches off. The other kind of branch that Jesus talked about in verse 6 is the branch that is dead. In last year's growth, it just gets cut off. And it's tossed in the grass between the vines. The grape arbors would, the vine dressers would come along and they would pick up those branches that were tossed within the grass and they would collect them and toss them into the fire. When they disconnected, they died. When we disconnect, we die. How many people do you know that disconnect from Jesus, and somewhat not even knowingly, and they wonder why they're dying spiritually. A high school student gets a job, gets busy with all the hours that they have and the paycheck, and so they take the money that they got from the paycheck and they buy a car or a home or something that's not necessarily significant, but because of the payments, now they are disconnected from God. Their Bible doesn't get read anymore because it's stuck under some pile of check stubs and study guides, and they've lost their idea of God, and their faith withers because that high school student is disconnected. Or how about the college student who gets a boyfriend and he's not really into church? He's a nice guy, though, and all. And she makes it her goal to do evangelistic dating. And late-night phone calls now crowd out the prayer time, and she's spending time with him now instead of going to her life group. And she gets disconnected, and her faith withers, dies. Another guy doesn't understand God. He knew that his parents knew God. He really didn't understand. He's been faithful to him since he was a child, but why would God allow me to be laid off? Why would he allow my wife to get sick? Why would God allow my home to be in foreclosure? And so his mind is occupied 24/7 about all these things, how to make ends meet. Who has time to pray, especially when God seems to have let them down bit by bit? Little by little, his faith atrophies. Why? Because he's disconnected. It can be difficult to stay connected. But look at what Jesus says in verse 7 and 8. Look what he says. He says, if you remain in me and my words, his word, remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. When we're connected, when we're plugged in to the vine, your prayers get answered. Not because God is doing some kind of quid pro quo, but because the more that you are connected to God, the more you begin to have a heart like his, you begin to pray according to his will, and things that he wants becomes the things that you want. Your prayers get answered. When you're plugged into him, when you're connected to God, God is glorified. Life becomes less about you and more about God. People look at you and they see God working in your life. He becomes greater and you become lesser. Your prayers get answered. God is glorified. When we are connected to the vine, you bear much fruit. You bear much fruit. Some people look at this verse and they say, well, Jesus must be talking about good works here. Bear much fruit. Or is he talking about evangelism, reaching more people? When we think of the fruit, we think produce. God's not talking about, Jesus is not talking about results here. He is talking about a result, not results. He's saying that your whole life is fruitful. It's a fruitful one, which God is glorified in. That's how we want to live our lives. That all my days, all my hours, all my minutes, all the seconds of my life, that I exist, I glorify God. That's the fruit that we're talking about. And if you're like me, you look at this and you say, well, how can I be more fruitful? What you and I need to be asking instead is, how can I be more connected? How can I be more connected to the vine? How can I be more connected to Jesus? How can I be connected, more connected to God? You know, when we think of fruitfulness, we think very differently than what God thinks of fruitfulness. When we think of fruitfulness, we think be productive. That's what Americans say. You got to do more. You got to live more. You got to believe more. You got to have more. Be productive. But when God is talking about being fruitful, he's not talking about be productive. He's talking about be present. Be more present with God. So here's one simple step that will guarantee you and me, all of us together, one simple step that will immediately cause us to be more fruitful. And that is when you're spending more time with God, that you're arranging your life around your time with God, not the other way around. You arrange your life around your time with God, not just trying to fit him in somewhere, somehow. So what would happen? If you decided, I mean, what would change tomorrow morning? You said, you know what? I'm going to rearrange my life so that it is oriented, it is arranged around staying connected with God. That is my number one priority. And you just did that for 30 days, 60 days, the rest of the summer. What would your life look like? How would your priorities shift? What would you have to delete from your calendar to put God number one? What would you have to start saying yes to? God was number one, your connection with him. What would you need to say no to? That's the challenge that I give you this morning. As you think about what God is asking you to do to connect with him so that you can bear fruit, not bear fruit so you have to connect. No, connect with him, and that connection will be automatically producing fruit in your life. And how amazing would that life be? I challenge you this week, tomorrow morning when you wake up, that you rearrange everything that you are doing, that you are being, that you are having, to put God number one, that connection over any other connection. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have given us John 15. This idea of the vine and the branches. Father, we put so much stress and so much pressure on ourselves to produce. And yet in this chapter, you ask us just to be present. Father, I pray for the single mom who has kids around her ankles, and that she would find the time. That she would find the time to connect with you, because it's that connection that's going to produce fruit in her children. Maybe she's just thinking, oh, how do I do it all? It's the connection with you. Father, I pray for the man who has to go into the executive wing tomorrow at his job, or even working on the line, that's trying to figure it all out. Father, help him to have the faith to connect with you. That is the priority, that it's not about producing, it's about being present. I pray for the student who is thinking about going back to college this fall, or back to high school or junior high this next fall, and they're feeling the pressure of all that. Father, I pray that they would make it a priority, maybe a priority that they made a long time ago, a decision to put you number one, but you've kind of gone into second place or third place because of a job or because of a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Father, I pray for these people that are in this room, that you would give them the strength to orient their lives around what matters most. And that's the connection with you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, Jesus never asks us to do something that he did not do first. He asks us to surrender, he surrendered. He asks us to obey, he obeyed. No matter where in the Gospels that you read, what Jesus did, he showed us first what he asked us to do. He oriented his entire life around his Father. John 15 and 16 and 17, he's connecting with his Heavenly Father. He connected his disciples when he realized that he was going to be going on to heaven. He connected them to the Father around the Lord's Supper, Lord's table. And Luke tells us Jesus' words when he said, he took bread and the cup and he gave thanks. Well, who did he give thanks to? But to the Father. Jesus is modeling for you and me that we would thank the Father for what he provided, for that connection that we can have through Jesus Christ. And then Jesus reminded his disciples, he said, I'm going to take this cup and give it to you, but I will not drink from this cup until you are with me, he said, with his Father in heaven. It's all about connection. So Jesus pointed the way for you and for me. Before he asked us to bear any fruit, he asked you and me to be connected. And so as the worship team leads us, I want to invite you to connect with the Father through Jesus Christ, through the Lord's Supper, through communion. That's the connection that we have. And you'll see some tables here, and there's a little bit of bread that reminds us of Jesus' body that was given up for us, and there's a little bit of juice, fruit of the vine, that reminds us that we can bear fruit when we are connected with him. So today, let this communion be different than other days when you've come to the table. Make it a commitment to connect, to plug back in to the vine so that you might bear fruit. Father, I thank you for these emblems, the bread and the juice. May we take it today on purpose, intentionally, to connect with you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.